أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, by the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have covered some very important masail rulings in connection with the salah that we read daily. In the last session, we covered the topic of raf'ul yadain, the raising of the hands in salah before and after ruku. And alhamdulillah, all the madahib were explained. Continuing from where we had left off, alhamdulillah, much has been covered. We turn to the posture of tashahhud, which is very, very important when we sit either in the second rakat or in the last rakat, in which we have to read tashahhud. Tashahhud begins with the words at-tahiyyatu lillah. It begins with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it ends with the declaration of faith. For a person to renew his contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time he reads the salah, an affirmation to confirm all the time who he is. And so tashahhud means to read the shahadat, to read the shahadat. And shahadat is ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And so that is why this very important dua, which begins with At-Tahiyyatu Lillah, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name given to this supplication is Tashahhud, in which a person has to renew his testification, his kalima, his declaration, his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At all times, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. However, in tashahhud, alhamdulillah, we have covered the translation, the tafsir, the meaning of tashahhud. One very important sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that needs to be carried out when we read tashahhud, that needs to be understood. One very important sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In tashahhud, the practice of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that he would raise his finger, the forefinger, the index finger would be raised in this way. This is the sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the dalil, the proof of this is in the hadith, which is narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. Now this hadith is recorded in Sunan Nasai, Abu Dawud Sharif. Baghawi has also recorded this hadith, and Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi has declared this hadith to be completely sahih. And so Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an says that when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would pray, he would point with his finger. He would point with his finger. As in, he would lift up, he would raise his index finger. And then in the hadith, he says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would not move it about. He would not move the fingers. Now this is in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so that is why the majority of the scholars are of the opinion that it is sunnah to raise your index finger, but not to continuously move it about. Not to continuously move it about. And of course you will find a group of people, many, that when they read the tashahhud, they raise the index finger, and actually what they do is that they continue this motion with the finger, this continuous movement of the finger. And so sometimes this is what they do. So you find a lot of people actually doing this. Now they cite two hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Their proof is two hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The one hadith is the hadith which is narrated by Hazrat Wa'il ibn Hujr radiyallahu ta'ala an. And this hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayhi. And in this hadith, it is said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is actually a very long hadith of Wa'il ibn Hujr. But then in the hadith it is mentioned that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would clench with his two fingers in this way, and then he would raise the finger, and then he would raise the finger. And so this is what he would do. Clench the two fingers, and then he would raise the finger. And then in this hadith it comes that yuharrikuhu, that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would move the fingers praying on it. Move the fingers and praying on it. Understand the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now this hadith is in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi. Now the scholars have mentioned that when you compare the hadith of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala with the hadith which is in Musnad Ahmad of Wa'il ibn Hujr radiyallahu ta'ala, the hadith of Wa'il ibn Hujr is less authentic than the one that is reported by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala. And the reason for this is the muhaddiseen have said that this hadith is what we call shaz. What do we call it? Shaz. Shaz actually means something which is not of a common occurrence, something which is uncommon. Something which is uncommon. And then Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in would label that as shaz. Why? The reason for that is because the same hadith is narrated by a number of other narrators, but in that hadith the word yuharrikuhu is not mentioned. The word yuharrikuhu is not mentioned. And just as satisfaction, I've actually collected all the other ahadith in which you have this one hadith of Wa'il ibn Hujr, which is actually reported by Asim ibn Kulayb. Now this man you have to remember, Asim ibn Kulayb. So Asim ibn Kulayb and the Sahabi is Wa'il ibn Hujr. In this one only hadith, which comes from Zaida ibn Qudama, is the extra wording of yuharrikuhu, that where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would move his finger. Now there are a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. There are other 11 narrators. How many narrators? 11 narrators who have all reported from Asim ibn Qulayb, the same man, but all 11 have not mentioned about yuharrikuhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would move his finger. And so this would mean that that hadith is very, very weak, because you have 11 narrators here who have not mentioned this. And so what we need to understand, alhamdulillah, our fuqaha who are masters of the hadith, the Muslim jurists, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Sufyan Thawri, all of these great, great people were masters of hadith. That is why the status of a faqih is higher than a muhaddith or a mufassir. Because a faqih should have all the knowledge of Quran and hadith. So his status is far more. And so we have Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Khalid ibn Abdullah, Qais ibn Rabi, Abu al-Ahwas, Sufyan Thawri, Shu'bah, Abdullah ibn Idris, Zuhair ibn Muawiyah, Abu Uwana, Abdul Wahid ibn Ziyad, Bishr ibn Mufaddal. Bishr ibn Mufaddal. All of these narrators narrate from Asim ibn Kulayb, but they don't actually use the same word as yuharrikuhu. So yuharrikuhu is actually an extra word that is only in one narration. Only in one narration. That is why the scholars have said that this hadith is less authentic than what we have, which is narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. So khair, there is no doubt, when we read tashahud, the raising of the finger is what? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another hadith that they cite as proof and evidence. Now my respected brothers, it's very important for us to also have some knowledge. And so at least, alhamdulillah, what we do, we have some understanding that, alhamdulillah, the fuqaha have worked very hard. And what we are doing is actually very, very close to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another hadith is a hadith which is recorded by Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayhi. And the narrator is Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an says that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the movement of the finger in your prayers, the movement of the finger in your prayers frightens the shaitan. What is the hadith? The movement of your finger in your prayers frightens the shaitan. And so there are people who take this hadith, which is in Bayhaqi, as dalil and proof that you see the movement here actually means to move it about. And so this will scare off the shaitan. And so some of them said that this is our dalil. But the fact of the matter is, the man who has actually included this hadith in his book, Imam Bayhaqi himself says that this hadith is da'if. This hadith is da'if. And we have our contemporary scholars, the great muhaddith of Saharanpur, Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayh. Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayh. And other great scholars. Hazrat Sheikh Zakaria rahmatullah alayh has mentioned in Awjazul Masalik that this hadith where the shaitan is scared, the meaning of the hadith is the single pointing of the finger. What is it? In the hadith, it is not mentioned that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam continuously would move about his finger. It doesn't say that. So Abdullah ibn Umar is right what he is saying, that the movement of your finger means your single pointing of the finger. Because when you read a tahiyyat, your fingers are relaxed. And then when you come to the shahadat, and when you say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, that is the time your fingers move about. And so what happens is that then you get into the position and you will raise your finger, and then you will say ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. You will raise it at la ilaha, and then illallah you will drop it. We will talk about this also. And so there is no discrepancy in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In your single pointing or raising of your index finger, it is the truth that this really frightens away the shaitan. The shaitan does not like to look at all the mu'mineen muslimeen pointing at him that there is only one Allah. So they don't like, he doesn't like that. And so this is a fact, because this is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now let us look at the different madahib, which is very important. And alhamdulillah, throughout our durus, I have not only explained the madhab of Imam Abu Hanifa, but I have explained the madahib of Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and the opinions of other scholars, so that people understand all the evidence and proof that they give. Alhamdulillah, we want to practice something which is close to the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, majority of the scholars refute and say that the moving of the finger continuously is wrong. What do they say? Moving of the finger. And this is the position of Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam Shafi'i, and Imam Abu Hanifa. So the three scholars, jurists, they say that no, one should not be continuously moving his finger in At-Tahiyyat when he is reading. In fact, some of the Shawafi scholars take it one step further and they say that this might even nullify your salah. It might even break your salah. Why? Because it is a form of distraction. This actually goes against the universal acceptance in Sharia with regards to salah, which is serenity, calm, khushu', devotion. So that when you make your salah, do it with khushu'. And if a person is continuously doing this, this is amale kathir. This could be amale kathir. And so some of the Shawafi' scholars actually give a fatwa that it might even invalidate your salah. So for some people, just to continuously do that, even the person who is praying to your right and left, he might be looking at you. He might be, ab hamari namaz hai kaisi mere azizo. You see how our namaz is. We dive into sajda. And we are in the shopping malls when we are in sajda. And then only when we realize Imam Sahib has said, Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah, Salaam alaikum. Oh, we're back in Leicester. Where are we? Masjid-e-Umar. This is the kind of namaz we pray. And so if somebody starts doing all this, everybody starts doing that, naturally it is a form of distraction. That is why the fuqaha, what they say is very, very important. That is why some of the fuqaha have said that in your sufuf, don't bring very young children. The reason for that is, of course, bring your children to the masjid. That's not a problem. But for them to be in the front sufuf, in the front area, when they are praying namaz, they like to fidget, they like to move about. And you'll find some children also look behind. They pray, the imam has started namaz and they look back. And so they're looking at two, three soft people behind. Naturally, the people at the back are disturbed. And so this is against the spirit of the Quran, because the Quran says, your salah is salah with khushu'. Your salah is salah with khushu'. And a man needs to create that environment of khushu'. You can't just scream in the house of Allah, mess around and talk. And unfortunately, this is what we see. Today you see people, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. They are in Masjid Nabwi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they phone at home and say, directly give salatu wa salam by the phone. Give salatu wa salam. They are doing tawaf of the Kaaba and they are talking. Allahu Akbar. You will find some people who are in salah and they are text messaging. And they say, this is amal qaleel, bas. Really, seriously. They've become so carefree. The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that spirit of khushu khuzu sometimes is taken away. So that adab is something which is very, very important. So Imam Shafi, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and Imam Abu Hanifa, they say that, no, the sunnah is you lift your finger up, And then, of course, then there is a different ruling amongst the madhahib when you put it down. But it is not about continuously moving it. The only faqih who actually says that you continuously move about your finger is Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh. So anybody who follows the fiqh of Imam Malik, of course, that's a different matter. So Imam Malik says that you can actually move your finger. However, even in the fiqh of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh, if you go deep into his research, you'll find that his very famous student, whose name is Ibn al-Qasim, Ibn al-Qasim al-Maliki, the famous student of Imam Malik, he actually goes against his own teacher, Imam Malik, and he says, no, that you should not move about, continuously move your finger. And another Maliki, who is Ibn al-Arabi al-Maliki, he vehemently also denounces this and goes against this. But khair, what we say is that jamhur, majority of the ulama, majority of the fuqaha are of the opinion that you raise your finger and you put it down, but you don't continuously move your finger. Now, I'm only saying this so that brothers who do amal on their fiqh are satisfied. Don't let others tell you, don't let others tell you what you are doing is wrong. No. Why? Because alhamdulillah, the fuqaha have already done their works. Don't let any man come and tell you what you're doing is wrong. Who is he to tell you this is wrong? Who is he? What are you doing? And so we need to understand this, which is very, very important. Now, if we go towards the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayh, there are two opinions. What is it? There are two opinions. The most famous opinion, of course, is that at the time of negation, you raise your finger. You raise your finger. So when you say, Ashhadu Allah, when you say, La, so when you say La, there is no God. There is no God. You raise your finger. When you say there is no God, of course in your heart you are saying, of course there is one God. So one is the negation. Then is the affirmation. Then is the affirmation, which is illallah, except for Allah. Now, the fuqaha in Ahnaf, they say that at La you raise your finger and at Illallah you drop it. At Illallah you drop it. And this is something that I'm sure many of us were taught also in the madrasa. Is this the case? La ilaha illallah. Another opinion is of the Ahnaf scholars is that because in the hadith Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is mentioned that he would raise his four fingers and that he would be praying with it. He would be praying with it. So, as in making dua. Now, when you are in the last rakat, everything is dua. In the last rakat, everything is dua. Durood Sharif is a form of dua. And also after durood, what you are doing is also a dua for yourself. And so because it is a dua, and in the hadith it does come that Allah's Nabi would raise his finger. So another option that a Hanafi or people who follow the fiqh that they can do is that when you read Ashhadu Allah, that is the time you raise your finger. And that at Illallah, you just slightly lower your index finger. What is it? Slightly lower your index finger, but you can keep it raised. And then you drop it when you do your first salam. So when you're about to do your assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, then you can drop your finger. So this is the two practice. You can either say la ilaha and then drop it at illallah. Or you can raise your finger, the forefinger, all the way and keep it in this way, not moving about. Remember, we've talked about this. It's not about moving your finger. Just keep it in this motion. Bas. That Allah is only one and you're making dua bas this way. And then when you end your dua and when you say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, when you're about to say salam, that is the time you drop your finger. And this is also the opinion of many of the scholars, including the very famous muhaddis, Sheikh Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayh, a great scholar of his time also. And this was his opinion. Wallahu alam, if brothers even wish to do that, that is okay. And if brothers want to just continue with what they have learnt and practiced, that is also accepted. However, this is a great sunnah, an established sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to actually raise your finger in tashahud. Now, what is the wisdom, what is the hikmat of actually raising your finger? Now, the simple answer to that is, we don't look for wisdom because it is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Whatever he has done, alhamdulillah, that is enough for us. However, there is benefit in some form of an explanation. And it is very simple. It is also mentioned in the hadith that this is something that frightens away the shaitan. And all the millions and millions of people, mashallah, when they read their salah and their fingers are raised, this actually gives a lot of taklif. This gives pain to the shaitan. In another hadith, it is ashaddu min al hadid, aw kama qal alayhi salatu wassalam, that it is more painful for him from even something that is as hard as steel or metal bar. It's very, very difficult for the shaitan to actually see the fingers go up, that even when they are saying there is no God, they are so firm upon their belief, that even when they say there is no God with the tongue, they are actually saying, of course, what we mean, that Allah is always there. What we mean, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. And so it's about fighting the shaitan all the time. And it's about recognizing that your enemy is who? The shaitan. And that is why also in Darse Quran I had explained that the shaitan is one creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who never gets tired. Never ever gets tired. We get tired, we need to sleep. We want Saturday, Sunday off, rest. Huh? But shaitan, there is no Saturday, Sunday for him. No such thing as Saturday, Sunday. There is no red light for shaitan. It's always green light. He can come and attack and he attacks. And so in the hadith, which is in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, when a child is born, and I said this, visiting hours hamare liye, visiting hours is for us, not for the shaitan. Shaitan gets there before the doctor. Doctors come very late anyway. And if you're in the hospital Saturday, Sunday, no doctors. Subhanallah al-Azim. And so what happens is that the shaitan is there, the child is born, immediately shaitan goes inside to scan the heart. He has done a scan of the heart. He scans the heart, and out of hatred, animosity, grudge, anger, that, bhai, you know, ye musalman hai ya kya? He pinches the child, the baby, pinches it. In the hadith it comes. And because he pinches the child, the child starts to cry. The child is crying. Now what happens? The ulama have said that by the touch of the shaitan, evil and negative atharat and these cancerous germs of the shaitan have actually been introduced into the body because of him pinching the child already, because he's there and he's touched. But look at Sharia, look at the teachings of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At every point wants to neutralize everything. In Sharia it comes, because the shaitan has touched the baby, you need to cleanse the baby spiritually. You need to cleanse the, because of the impurity that is inside him by shaitan touching him. The ulama have said, read the adhan in the right ear and the iqamat in the left ear, and by the barakat of the azan and iqamat, the child will once again be pure. Subhanallah. That is the power in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why, my respected brothers and elders, you will find some people who have led a life of kufr all their life. All their life. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them hidayat. Allah gives them hidayat. And in one majlis they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. They recite the kalima. And everything of the past is deleted. Everything. Maaf. And he's like a newborn baby again. This is the power of the kalima. And so that is why when you do the zikr of Allah, when you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or even when you make ishara and when you say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, look at the finger and think that Allah is one and He is the Almighty. Allah is one and He is the Almighty. And that the salah that I am praying, it is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us all the tawfiq to understand these very important masail, which are directly connected to the salah that we read 5 times a day. Inshallah, by understanding the masail, we will improve our salah and inshallah increase the level of khushu'. Allah give us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.